Hey, I'm April, and they say laughter is the best medicine. So I'm here to give you a dose of laughs while discussing a range of health issues that impact women on Copay with April Body. And here we accept all forms of payments, okay? Including likes, comments, and shares, and of course, subscribe. On this episode of Make Fibroids Funny Again, I am going to be doing a follow-up to episode one where I talked about my surgery. And we're going to get into surgery number two. Explain my first surgery that I had in 2018. And now I'm going to tell you how I went out of 2020 with a bang, literally. 2020 started off weird, you know, because Trump. But like, I don't know. It already started off weird to me. I think we like just started a war with somebody or something. And something in my spirit was already like, girl, don't even make a vision board this year. You know, we in our last days. Then boom, we shut down. Now, let me tell you, I also started the year, though. I did do this. I did start the year 2020 praying and fasting to be completely healed from fibroids. Because 2019, the surgery was good, but my periods were still kind of wonky. Like, I still sometimes would have heavy, heavy periods, and then it would be okay. Like, it was just too up and down. And because I still had fibroids, I was like, you know, I had already started going vegan, like, in 2018. I'd already started trying to do vegan because everybody's like, oh, what you eat impacts your period health. But not just fibroids, like, even with endometriosis, PCOS, like, so many things we all know. They tell you what you eat can be healing and, you know, clean up your diet to help any health issues, right? So I'm up here praying to Jesus on the 15th of every month, right? I'm fasting for 3 days. Now, I can't totally fast from food because the way my body is set up, like, I get sick. I just can't eat. I'm also greedy, but it's just really hard for me to go without food. But it was pretty much like the Daniel fast where, you know, I eat like nuts and berries, like a smoothie, and just being really conscious of what I ate. And I wouldn't have my first meal until 6. But I also, for 3 days, though, no TV, no social media, limited social media because I kind of needed it for work, but no TV, right? So that's how the year was going in 2020 while we're also on lockdown. Then November comes, right? And I did have a heavy period, but I really didn't pay any attention to it. I was a little like, dang, this period's going on for a while. But then December comes, right? I start my period again shortly after I already had a pretty heavy period. December 16th. I will never, never forget this day. I'm on my period. I already started my period maybe like a few days before that, right? It's heavy, whatever. I'm also day 2 of my fast. So I wake up feeling a little off, not feeling too well. And I'm like, okay, maybe because I am fasting. Like, I'm eating, but I'm still not consuming what I normally would eat. Our calories I would normally eat on a regular basis. And I was like, maybe my iron is low. Like, I explained in episode 1 how the symptoms of anemia and low iron, you know, it could be from being cold, fatigue, shortness of breath, things like that. But it still wasn't completely registering to me that it could be fibroid related. And I also had some other personal issues going on that was stressing me out. So I kind of thought, stress, you know, like, this could also just be stress. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna go take care of my personal issue. And then, you know, maybe I'll go to urgent care and get this iron transfusion, right? I'm leaving my apartment, walking to the train station. And each step, it's almost like I'm starting to walk in slow motion at this point. Because each step, my breath just got shorter and shorter. And kind of getting kind of foggy. And dizzy to the point where I had to just stop. I've never felt like this before. I remember I stopped first and tried to catch my breath. And I was like, dang, I only walked not even like half a mile. Like, I live on a walk up, but it's like, okay, I did the walk up. I'm only halfway to my train station, which is just 5 blocks from my house. So I was like, why am I just so out of breath? Oh my God. Then I catch my breath, try to take a few more steps, and I can't catch my breath again. And then I remember it was scaffolding. I leaned over on the scaffolding, and that's all I remember. But I basically had passed out. And I don't know how long I had passed out for, but I just remember hearing some man screaming in the background. And I'm thinking, like, dang. And I'm like, I can't move. I really can't lift my head. And I'm like, dang, this is how I'm about to go out. I'm about to just die right out here outside my train station. Like, okay. I'm like, I'm going to see the king. And, but I hear this man, he's screaming like, oh my God, somebody call 911. He ends up calling 911. He calls 911. And he comes over to me. And I guess at some point during the call, you have to give your age. So he's like, yeah. She's in her early 30s. No. Late 30s. Y'all, that's when I came to. Because I was like, I know this man ain't sitting up here trying to guess my, like, prices right my age right now. He's like, this is what we're doing, sir? Like, I'm passed out and you want to guess my age? Like, come on. That really, I was like, okay, I'm going to make it. And when I come back, I'm going to haunt this man. So yeah, that happens. Now, this is the thing. The ambulance comes. You know what's terrible? As I'm in the ambulance, I'm sitting up here thinking, we're in a pandemic. There are already reports and stories about Black people going to the hospital, like Black and brown people going to the hospital, not getting the same kind of care, dying. Because at this point, you know, who's going to question anything? You had so many people dying. If a Black person dies, who's checking? And I'm sitting in this ambulance like, should I go to the hospital? We're in a pandemic. I'm a Black woman. Am I even going to get the best care? And the EMT was like, so you want to go to the hospital? I was like, nah, I think I'm just going to go home. Because this is my train of thought. The fact that I have to put my race and the effed up issues in our country above my health. Because I'm like, I don't think this is the best time to go because essential workers are already overstaffed. I don't want to be last on the totem pole or ignored because of what I'm going through. So, but she was like, who lives with you? I'm like, well, I'm by myself. So she was like, if you go home and this happens, then what? You know, you pass out again. And I'm like, dang, she right. So I go to the hospital and I love Lenox Hill. So I was like, can you take me to Lenox Hill? They're like, ma'am, no. Like, we're going to take you to the nearest hospital. They took me to New York Presbyterian, which is another great hospital as well. It was closer to my house. Get to the hospital. It's okay. So hemoglobins, anything below 7, you have to get a blood transfusion because that's like dangerous. And I was at a 6.5. Mind you, I'm at a 6.5. On top of that, I'm still having a heavy period. And not to be dramatic, but this is dramatic. I'm basically bleeding to death. Like, that is what is happening with the fibroids because I was a little hesitant because I never had a blood transfusion before. But the doctor was like, this is life or death in your situation because there's really no other option. You're just going to keep bleeding. And the more blood you lose, the more serious it's going to get. You can pass out again. So I was like, okay. So yeah, I did the blood transfusion and I thank people so much who donate blood. Oh my God, like lifesavers, right? Had the blood transfusion. 2 weeks later, Christmas Eve, or less than that, Christmas Eve, I'm having the exact same symptoms I had before I passed out. And at this point, I kind of got PTSD. To this day, I low-key got PTSD because I'm so scared of passing out. And I immediately, as soon as I have those symptoms, I'm like, oh my God. And again, I'm by myself. It's Christmas Eve. I'm like, if something happens to me, who's gonna know? So I'm sitting there and I did like a ER virtual visit and I was telling the doctor and she was kind of like, you probably want to go to ER and make sure and get this checked out. And two of my closest friends, I love them to pieces. He usually has like a Christmas party, right? They usually have a Christmas party. And that was a plan. I was going to go to the party later. So I called them. I'm like, oh my God, I got to go to the hospital. I don't know. I'm going to be able to make the party. He's like, oh my God, girl, grab your best moo-moo, put on your lashes. This can turn into your Hallmark movie. You're going to fall in love with a doctor. He's going to save your life. I'm like, okay. So I do, like, I get kind of cute to go to the hospital. Like, this is ridiculous. Here I am, like, about to die, Chad. I'm like, I'm gonna catch a man, though. So, you know, go to the hospital. She looking cute. They're taking me to Lenox Hill. We also, you know how it is with the hospital, too. Who knows when you'll be seen and all that stuff. They were like, we need to get you some food. We stopped by this place, I think, called Pastrami Queen, which is really good. Got some sandwiches. They hooked me up with, it was so funny. My friend was like, you are not going to miss this Christmas party, though. You are going to come to this Christmas party. We're going to have Christmas, okay? And you're going to be healthy. Because they were also scared, too, after I passed out. It really was just a scary thing for, you know, especially my parents. And my parents don't live in New York. So my friends, who I adopt as my family, was like all I had at this time. So I'm in the hospital. Come to find out. Okay, so when I had the first blood transfusion, I told you I was 6.5. I went from 6.5 to 9.5, whatever it was. I don't know the numbers. I don't know if, like, if it was 2 pints or what, but they gave me 2 of those IV bags of blood, right? 2 of those, which thank you so much for blood donation. Like, people who donate blood, you truly, literally are saving lives. But because I am on the Noah's Ark of bleeding, I went from a 9.5 hemoglobin count to a 7. That's how much blood I lost from December 16th to Christmas Eve. Okay, less than 2 weeks. But because I was borderline, the doctor was like, well, we can't, you know, strongly urge you to get one because they can't force you to do anything. But if it was below 7, they really would be pushing for a blood transfusion. I really didn't want to spend Christmas Eve in the hospital because when you have a emergency room blood transfusion, you have to stay overnight. It's automatic. And I was like, I just don't want to spend, like, this is not what I see for Christmas. I ended up going home and I got in touch with my hematologist. Thank God that she was available. She ended up scheduling, if you schedule a blood transfusion, it takes a couple hours and then you go home. It's like an outpatient procedure, but it's Christmas Eve. So I had to wait like 3 or 4 days. And I jokingly called, because I think I had it, like, this was the 24th. I didn't have the blood transfusion scheduled till like the 29th because of the holidays. So, you know, I know I'm dramatic or whatever, but I was like, oh my God, I'm just on death watch because I left the hospital at 7. And like I said, it's very scary, like the severity of this, because I mean, I guess I could have got the blood transfusion on Christmas Eve and did all of that, but I just really didn't want to do that. I just didn't. And I just risked it. I took a risk and was like, I'll just wait a couple of days and then get the blood transfusion, the outpatient procedure. But obviously, if I would have felt anything, I would have went to the hospital. So I just remember, like, my parents were calling me around the clock. My dad, like, they would call me 3 or 4 times a day, like, first thing in the morning, especially before I would go to bed, all day. Like, they would just kind of, like, around the clock make sure that I was okay. So, yeah, then I had the outpatient. So now we're on, yeah, blood transfusion number 2. And I jokingly just call, like, those the last, like, from November, December, like, the end of 2020 for me, I just jokingly call it, like, the death watch of 2020 because I spent Christmas and, like, New Year's Eve just monitoring myself because the fact that I lost so much blood so quickly was kind of scary. And at the same time, I'm trying to find a doctor, right? I'm trying to be like, because for some reason, this always happens, right? At the end of the year, your insurance companies, they go back and forth. And, you know, I guess they start battling contracts and what they want to do. And for whatever reason, everybody was dropping my insurance plan. I was like, won't need you no more. So I'm trying to find new doctors. I think my gynecologist wasn't going to be covered anymore. My hematologist wasn't going to be covered anymore. So I'm like, dang, I got to find all new doc. Like, it's very stressful because, like, at least my insurance company, they don't update their websites. Like, they on their website, they'll say this doctor's in network. After you spend hours on hold, you find out this doctor is not in network. So I'm dealing with that. And I'm trying to weigh my options. I'm trying to figure out, what do I want to do? What surgery do I want to have next? And so, you know, I found another hematologist. Thank God I found a Black woman. She was a hematologist. And I will say this. Something about Black doctors, I have never felt, no one has ever advocated for me so hard and just made me a priority. I've never felt like that. And I hope to have her on the show one day because she is amazing. But I found her. She scheduled an iron transfusion and she again was like wanting to check on me. And a lot of her clients or patients also, fibroids were the major issue for them in this thing. Like she had another woman she told me about who passed out at her home. And if it wasn't for her son, who was just a child, a toddler, found her passed out at the toilet and he called 911. So it was like crazy. This is wild how this happens to so many women and just like, there's just nothing out there. It's just crazy. So yeah, she does a different, like my previous hematologist that I used to see, I would go every week, like 2-3 times a week getting iron transfusions. I mean, I spent a lot of time at the doctor. This thing she did, you just go for 2 doses. And when I tell you, I don't know if anybody else has been through this before. I would love to know your experience. It did not sit well with me. Literally, I was so bloated. It was just so much iron at one time. I felt stopped up for days. Okay. So yeah, we're into January, starting the new year. I'm still like going to different consults. I saw a doctor cause I was reconsidering. One of the doctors or my new gynecologist said he could like go in and remove the fibroid. It was like this one fibroid that was really causing majority of the issues and the bleeding. So he was saying he could like safely go in vaginally and remove it. And also had a consult with another doctor for a uterine fibroid embolization. And that's basically when they go in through like a vein through your leg or through your thigh, I believe. And they put like a thin tube, like a catheter through the blood vessel, through the leg or the wrist. And they shrink the blood supply to that fibroid to stop the bleeding, right? So those are the two doctors that I saw. Because this is the thing. I'm going to be very vulnerable with you guys. Because this was my concern. Again, there's not many options out there other than surgery, right? There's not a lot of alternative medicine and yeah, all this diet stuff. Like I'll tell y'all a couple herbs that I took that I actually think worked. I'll get to that too. But I really didn't want a hysterectomy, right? Because so hysterectomy removes your uterus. I know some women, they'll just remove the uterus and they'll keep their ovaries. Because the whole thing with that is like, you can also have early menopause. And, you know, to me, just having a hysterectomy is kind of a barbaric thing to be like, this is the main cure. It's just make sure you can never have kids again. Because that definitely draws a line in the sand for that. And that is where I was struggling. And again, this is where I'll get vulnerable because I remember my parents and I even asked my grandmother, I'm like, what should I do? And my grandmother was like, I want you here. So if a hysterectomy is going to end all of this, that's what you need to do. My whole family was pretty much like, have a hysterectomy. Like that's what they said to do. And I was like, dang. Being single is so hard. Like that was my response, right? Because I'm sitting up here like, it's already hard to date when you get older. I don't even if it's older anymore, Chad. It may be hard to date at 21 these days. What is dating? That's another topic we'll get into. But I'm like, yo, it's already hard to date, right? Now I gotta be like, hi, nice to meet you. I'm also barren. Like what? Like that is not what I want to say, you know, and of course, my family's just like, well, your health is first. And, you know, all these scriptures. Well, Sarah in the Bible was barren, but look what Jesus did. I'm like, listen, you know, it's like sometimes that's just not the advice you want to hear. It's just like, oh, because people don't get it. And it just sucks that like as a woman, again, this is something you have to deal with. And it's one thing if I was with a partner and I could already be like, hey, babe, this is what's up, or already had kids, you know? And I mean, I'm at the point now, I'm like, I really, y'all don't understand, this was really hard. I cried a lot. About to cry now. But I cried a lot because at the time I was making decisions alone, you know, that determines the rest of my future. And a future that I one day want to share with someone, but now I'm making, you know, a life changing decision basically. And that's all I could think about. It's like, here I am kind of in a life or death situation. And all I'm thinking about is how I'm going to get a man. Isn't that, that sounds so pathetic. It does. But that is what I was thinking because I'm like, here we go. It's just going to be another box checked of like, well, are you going to be single and die alone? Like, again, I'm being really transparent with y'all on this. And so I really just grappled with that. And even my main gynecologist, he was like, he also was like, I think you should preserve your uterus. You're still young enough to have kids. And it was like so sad because like, not sad, but I would go to the, all these different appointments, you know, the amount of the, my vagina was tired. Okay. She was tired. I had so many different MRIs and ultrasounds where they stick that thing that's like a, looks like a vibrator, but it ain't. So many ultrasounds, all these things. And all the doctors would be like, wow, you have, your eggs are great. Like you are healthy. Like you could, like all that part is great. But I don't even know, honestly, if I'm healthy enough to carry a baby to term because I have so many other medical issues, you know? So I jokingly say like I have high blood pressure and fibroids, black girl magic. But like, this is just a compound of issues, like to know like, wow, my eggs are great. I'm very fertile, but can I even carry a baby? And with these fibroids and the way things are positioned in my body now, can I? And my gynecologist who was saying he could do the surgery to pull out the fibroid would have been like the safest option if I want to have kids. If you have a UFE, the uterine fibroid embolization, if you have that, that definitely puts you at risk. You may or may not, you know, it definitely lowers your chances. So I was like, dang, you know, like, what do I do? What do I do? And these are the things I'm thinking about during this time. And as I'm thinking about all of this, guess who is still on her period? Okay. Bleeding heavy. My period was on my neck. Like she would not let up. Okay. We're not talking about little light periods. So by the end of January, guess who ends up in the hospital again? Okay. Once again, same exact symptoms, shortness of breath, feeling like weak, feeling faint, go to the hospital. My hemoglobin's, I think at this time was like at a 6, because every time I would go to the doctor, they would get me like at a 9, like barely get me at a 9. And this time I was below 6.5 again. I think I was like a 6 or maybe even a 5. It was really scarily low. And went back to the hospital. And this whole time we're still in a pandemic, right? So I couldn't really even have visitors. Like my friends really couldn't even see me. So that was also difficult to go to the hospital. And I really felt so alone. It was like, I already spent quarantine. I mean, I did have a pandemic bay or whatever. I mean, even the pandemic bay, it wasn't the whole pandemic. There were parts of the pandemic where I was pretty much alone. Okay. And I think we all during the pandemic, most of us were trying to just reevaluate so much in our lives, right? Just thinking heavy, like what's important? What is my purpose? What am I going to do next? Because listen, child, all I know is in my next pandemic, I'm going to need a pool. Okay. First of all, that was the main thing. I was like, I need a swimming pool. But no, like, these were extreme circumstances, you know? So to already have to go through health issues. And then on top of that, and I have your family and friends to be able to really be there like they normally would or a normal time. And on top of that, you know, I'm going on 6 weeks with a period. Period. Okay. Period, poo. Like a nonstop period. And now I'm going in at the end of January for number 3, blood transfusion number three. So now I'm in the hospital. They also put me on birth control too. I forgot about that. I think this after the second blood transfusion, like, oh, here's birth control. And I was like, birth control? Chair, I'm so sick of y'all trying to... Birth control is not the end all cure all. Like, I don't know why doctors, for women, that's just what they give us. You have endometriosis, take some birth control. PCS, take like whatever it is. They're like, oh, just take birth control. And like, that's supposed to, like, oh, because it'll regulate your period. All you're doing, if it does anything, it may suppress, right? It may suppress what you're going through, but it's a Band-Aid. Because the second you get off those the pill, guess what? The symptoms are there. Child, I'm ran. So yeah. So I'm in the hospital. And I'm like, at this point, so while I'm in the hospital, I let the doctors know immediately when I went in for that blood transfusion that I already had things lined up. Like, I told them that, hey, I already have an appointment here on Tuesday. Like I told y'all, Lenox Hill was like my winter vacation home. So I told them when I went there, like, I have an appointment in 2 days to get an ultrasound because the doctor who's going to do the UFE wants to make sure he wants to see everything before we do the surgery or move forward with surgery. I was like, I haven't made my decision yet. And I also told him about my other gynecologist, what he wanted to do. So I'm like, these are the people that I've talked to. This is what I'm considering doing because I don't know when my period's going to end. Like, I think I mentioned it in the other podcast. The way that I was losing blood, no one would ever operate on me in the first place. So I kind of had no option. When you lose that much blood, you can't have surgery because if something happens, you're already at a deficit. So the last thing you could do is go under with, you know what I mean? So I had like that. That was the I don't know what the word is, but that is what was so hard because, you know, on one hand, my family was like, just go get a hysterectomy already. Just go like in this already. But I'm like, y'all, I'm not even healthy enough to have surgery. No one's going to operate on somebody who has lost this much blood. I'm going to keep bleeding. I'm going to keep coming back every couple of weeks for a blood transfusion. So you had to get in at least as healthy as I possibly could be. And for me, that was just being at a level 9 with my hemoglobin. That was the healthiest I could be to have a surgery. And compared a UFE compared to like a myomectomy or even a hysterectomy, like the UFE was like the safest procedure to given the circumstances of my low blood. And I'm laying in the hospital bed and this is the next day after the blood transfusion and there's no solution. And I remember the next morning, the doctors, it's like Grey's Anatomy. I can hear them outside and they're like, all right, we got a black female. She's this age. She has these symptoms and this is what's going on. Now who we're going to go in there and talk to her. And they all come in. It's like a team of doctors. And they're all like, okay, asking me questions. And I'm like, so what are we going to do, y'all? What's the plan? Like, I guess we're going to switch your birth control. I'm like, birth control? No. And I didn't even tell them. I stopped taking it. When they gave me the birth control in December, I think I took it for like a week or two. And I was done. Because this is what they don't tell you. After 35. After a certain age, you shouldn't even be on any kind of pill. Like, pills are the last thing you need because it causes other health issues. And I'm a girl. I'm a research girl, okay? I will always do my homework. I'm definitely one of those people that's like Miss Web MD. But at the same time, I know how to decipher, like, you know, I mean, I know people joke, like, you go on Web MD for, like, a common cold. And they're like, oh, my God, no, it's cancer. Like, I know people joke about that, but I'm really good at diagnosing myself. Only because I am just such an overanalyzer and such a thinker. And in cases like that, I think it's actually useful the way that I research. So I got on the pill because I knew the pill was a problem and was going to create more problems. So I was only on that pill for like 2 weeks, child. So they were going to just put me back on birth control. And I'm like, this is it. Sitting there and waiting for my food. That's like an hour late. I'm so hungry. And all of a sudden, the nurse comes in. The food is coming. The guys bring the food. And the nurse is like, no, she can't eat. The doctor's going to operate on her today. And I'm like, okay, all right. I can't remember the doctor's name, but he was great. I really don't remember his name, though. But if you want to comment on this podcast and share with five friends, because that's how you get to heaven, I will share with you. No, I'm kidding. But no, if you guys really want to know, if you're in the New York area, I will definitely try to find the doctor's name, because like I said, it was great. I did the UFE procedure. And when I tell you, day and night. And when I tell you, though, after that surgery, immediately I went from a heavy flow to just a light, like towards the end of your period, not the browning part, but there's that light flow. I couldn't believe it when I left that surgery. Far as the pain, it was painful. The first couple of days was very painful. And I think I stayed another night because they wanted to monitor me, especially since I had a blood transfusion and I just had a, you know, serious surgery. But I went home. I think UFE takes like a week or two to recover. Each day got better and better. Like I said, the first few days are rough. After that, it's pretty minimal. A random story, but a week after that surgery, I got a blood clot, completely unrelated to the fibroids, which I'll probably do a whole segment on, like DVT and blood clots and the symptoms and stuff like that. But yeah, so that happened. And so that kind of ended. I had that surgery in 2021, first of the year. And I can say that I have PTSD because the first 2 days of my period are still very heavy. And I don't know, for whatever reason now, whenever I have a heavy period, it just really scares me because I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, to this day. And then by day three or four, it goes like, it's almost like being a kid again, because I remember when I first got my period, it would kind of be normal. Like, even I'll get into my endometriosis, but even with the endometriosis, my periods were different. It was like I'd have a period, but a normal cycle. You know, my period would last 5 to 7 days, if that. Like, by day five, I'd be good. And it's such a new lease on life to have just a normal period. Like, to have a period, yes, the first 2 or 3 days, you're on life support. You're like, this is over. We're all women can relate. Like, period cramps. The first 3 days, you're just like, I don't know if I'm going to make it, guys. I don't know. This is it. You know? And then after that, you're like, okay, life is great. We're back. And that's where I've been. I have been in a happy place with my period. But with fibroids, because I actually need to get a checkup with that, which I have an appointment, ironically, coming up soon, to kind of see where I stand with those fibroids, because I think I still have some, but the ones that were the rowdy heifers that was causing all the havoc in my uterus, those are gone thanks to the UFE. So, but before I end this podcast, I want to talk about... like a month before starting this podcast, I was, you know, every few months or few years, I go into this like existential, like, what is my purpose? Why am I here? Like, I need to know my purpose and what I'm living for. You know, being so dramatic is huge. And it was just really heavy on my heart, though. This whole year has really been like, I wanted my passion and purpose to align for my living. You know, I wanted my career and my job to be one. And I love helping people. I love being of service. And I'm like, how can I do that? Like, as a stand-up comedian, you know, I love, you know, making people laugh. It's a great thing to be able to interact in my shows. If you ever come to one of my shows, it really is just like I'm kicking it with my friends and we're just having a good time. Like, that's the vibe I like to give. And I've had podcast ideas. I'm like, oh my God, there's so many podcasts out there. And I had so many ideas for podcasts and shows. But I feel like, you know, when it comes to business, you really got to be passionate about it. Like, if you don't care about clothes and you start a clothing line, it's like you're not going to really keep the momentum going because you don't care. And I realized that Because I was mad. I was really mad that I was fasting. And then I'm like, really? The end of the fast, I fall and bump my head? Like, this is what? Like, what kind of answer is this, God? Like, what? And I realized that bump on my head was a wake-up call of, I am a person who, my passions I put on hold because I want a paycheck or because I'm scared, fear. And so I put all my eggs in a job basket and hope that my job will bring fulfillment or the type of job, because it's immediate, like, well, maybe this will help me in comedy or this will help me in film. Like, instead of believing and betting on myself, I put my eggs in a job basket, or I put my eggs in somebody else's dreams instead of my own. And I realized falling on my head to get me on this mic today and realize that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is my purpose. And there's so much I want to do with this podcast. And there's just so much I really want to do with this podcast and the healthcare industry and helping marginalized women, Black women, brown women, POC. So much I want to do. Again, you know, I'm kind of like a fibroid whisperer. And at the time, you know, that whole, when Trump was in office and I was going through everything I was going through in 2020, that's what I came up with. Make Fibroids Funny Again, a comedy show to raise awareness through laughter. But my ultimate goal is to slowly and mightily make a difference, make an impact. And I just hope that you guys continue on this journey with me and we can do that together. Thanks for listening. Be sure to follow Copay with AB on all social media. And tune in next week. We're going to talk about getting older. Do we hate it here or do we love it?